Would you please turn this morning to the Gospel of Luke? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke 22. This is not some verses I was reading this week. Typically, I get an idea from just my daily reading. I do. And that's where many thoughts come to me. But as I was praying this week, I didn't have any indication of based on what I had read. And I was praying to God, and shortly thereafter, or during that time, these verses came to me, and I just pray they're from God. I pray that they're verses that have been a blessing to me to study, and a blessing, I pray, they will be to you, the message. I believe that God gives His Word to all of us. Sometimes, maybe the message means something more to one than another because of that person's particular circumstances. I believe sometimes God directs me, not knowing maybe your circumstance in particular, but that He knows it. And He knows what would be a blessing to you and direction to you and comfort to you. And so often it is to me and to you. And so I pray that'll be the case today. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. The words of our Lord. Luke records for us, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." These verses came to me as I was praying that God would bless me to know what to preach on today. And I pray they're from God, and I pray that He'll help me to preach the Word today. And I pray that He'll open all our eyes and our hearts to receive His Word. Let's pray for that to happen, brethren. Father, we do thank You again. We thank You for the privilege to be in Your house, the privilege and the freedom we have to worship here, this place set aside for worship. We thank You for preserving it and the comfort that we have here. We thank You, Father, for meeting with us here so many times in the past. We've felt Your sacred presence here, Your divine help has been brought to us in this place. And we need it again, O God, as the hymn writer says, "Hungry and faint and poor, behold us, Lord, assembled at Thy mercy's door, Thy bounty to obtain." O God, may we obtain Your bounty today. May we share in it. Come by Your Spirit, O God, and feed us, teach us. May we be receptive to it, O God. May we hear the Word of the Lord. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, as the Apostle Peter would later write after Jesus spoke these words to him, exhorting us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. Let that happen, O God, please, Lord. Make it happen. Hear our prayer and have mercy, we pray, and bless. So, O God, that You would be honored and glorified, get honor and glory from what we do, and we would be established in Your truth, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These two verses were fairly familiar to me. I've read them many times. I think I did. I tried to preach on this one time. My Bible says in 2008, in another place, another church. I want to just give you a little background first, brethren, on what's happening right here. Context. Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Oh, brothers, would he ever? He needed converting here. Simon did. He needed converting. And he would indeed strengthen the brethren, and does to this very moment, as we read about Him. Jesus, brethren, is near the cross. We sing a hymn, Jesus, keep me near the cross, don't we? That's because we want to be near it in our spirit and soul. We want to see it. We want to see the suffering of our Savior. We want to see the effect of it. But Jesus, brethren, was physically near the cross in time and in geography. He was about to go to the cross right here when He said these words. He was with the apostles in the upper room. He had instituted the Last Supper. He was about to be betrayed and about to be denied. Betrayed by Judas Iscariot, denied by Simon Peter. That's what's happening right here. When He leaves here, He's headed to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, to sweat blood, to ask God that this cup would pass from Him, that He wouldn't have to drink the cup. But He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And He went to the cross, brethren, just hours after this. There's the context. But before He went there, brethren, He spoke some words. The apostles are all around Him. And He says to one in particular, Simon, Simon. What was his other name? Peter. Yeah. Yeah. Early on, Jesus, when He called him into His service, He said, you're Simon, but you're going to be, now you're called Peter. Jesus came up with another name for him. What does the word Peter mean? Rock. Rock solid. Firm foundation. That's what I'm going to call you, Jesus says to Simon. And on another occasion, Jesus asked the apostles, Simon being among them, Peter being among them, who do men say that I am? And they told Him. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're another prophet. And Jesus said, well, who do you say I am? And that man, Peter, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Brethren, that's saying a lot, isn't it? Do you say that today? Do I say that? Oh, what a privilege to know that. Know that in here and in here. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When I united with the church, I was a little boy. I don't know how old I was. Young, scared to death. The preacher sat down on the front row beside me. Boy, I was crying like a baby and shaking like a leaf. He said, Mike, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And I said, yes, sir. Or uh-huh, or something. I said in the affirmative. He said, do you believe that He died for your sins? I said, yes, I do. Or answered in the affirmative. He said, okay. That's what the preacher wanted to know. I had come forward to unite with the church. And so, brethren, to have that knowledge is a great blessing. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus immediately said, he didn't say, you're right, but he said, you're blessed, Simon Peter, to know that. It's a blessing to know that. Not everybody knows it, but you know it, Simon. And he said, I'm building my church on the fact that I am the Son of God. Simon Peter was on a firm foundation right there. He was standing on the promises of God. And Brother Ralph mentioned this morning in Bible study, he mentions it fairly regularly. He says that one time Jesus said, will you all go away also, talking to the apostles? And Peter spoke up and said, where would we go? Nowhere else to go. I'm sticking with you. You see, when Peter said those words, brethren, he's Peter. He's the solid rock. He's the rock. On this occasion, though, Jesus calls him Simon. Why is that? Why is that? Simon, Simon, he says. He repeats his name. When Abraham was about to cut the throat of Isaac, God called out, Abraham, Abraham, two times. To repeat the word, brethren, adds emphasis to it. Jesus says, Simon, Simon. Oh, brethren. He's probably saying it. I don't know. This is my idea. I don't know. But he's probably saying it in love somewhat and in pity somewhat. I don't think he's saying it I told you this before. My wife used to call out to our oldest son sometimes, "Joshua, Joshua." She was frustrated with him. She sometimes was angry with him. He could try your nerves. But Jesus is saying right here, brethren, "Simon, Simon." But why does he say Simon instead of Simon Peter or Peter? Oh, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, behold, listen to me. Get this, Simon. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Simon, in fact, Simon was, Satan, brethren, was circling. Satan was on the prowl. And he was out to get Simon, you see. He couldn't get Peter. He couldn't get Peter when he's standing firm and on the firm foundation. He can't get him. But when he's Simon, brethren, watch out when he's weak. "Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Satan, this man Simon, you read something this morning. We all stood together and you read something together that Simon Peter wrote. It's in 1 Peter 5:8. Turn there, would you? 1 Peter 5:8. He wrote this. This is a converted man now writing this, brethren. A little different man. You see, look at that letter, that epistle, and it's entitled Peter. It's not entitled Simon. It's entitled Peter. This is the strong, bold, brave, standing on the firm foundation, Peter. This is what he says to us. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Devour. You see, Peter wrote that. Jesus said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. You got to get through something here, Peter. He didn't tell him he's about to stumble. Well, he did, actually. He said, before the rooster crows, Peter, you're going to stumble. You're not going to be Peter, you're going to be Simon. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." Satan wants you. Brethren, I say to every one of you, and I say to myself, Satan wants you. You know the painting of Uncle Sam that says, "I want you"? That's "I want you in my service. I want you to join the army." I think that came from World War II, didn't it, brothers? I think that's right. "I want you." Brothers, Satan wants you. He wants you. And if he could turn Job every which away but loose, he can turn you, brothers. Watch out. He turned Simon Peter right here. He turned him. Jesus said, "He wants you that he may have you, that he may sift you as wheat." We're going to read in just a minute. I'm going to cite you to some verses right here in this chapter of Satan getting a hold of Simon. He wants you. Know that, brethren. And Simon said to you just now in what you read this morning at the beginning of this service and what I just read for you, brethren, you've got to be vigilant, because he's your adversary. You have an enemy. Oh, wouldn't life be grand if none of us had any enemies? But all who will live godly in Christ Jesus have enemies. We have one in common, and that's Satan. "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You see, in that day, when they sifted wheat, they would put it in a big flat basket and throw it up. He'd come down, throw it up again. Or on a cloth with maybe four people, one on each corner, and they'd throw it up. And the wind would blow, and they'd throw it up like that. And it would be tumbling in the air, and it would come down and go back up. You ever been knocked over by a wave in the sea, and you just, I'm reaching out with my hands and feet trying to find the bottom so I can get a hold, and then another wave comes and rolls me again. Satan, brethren, that's what he wants to do to you, keep you off balance. He wants to toss you to and fro. And Jesus knows it, and he warns Simon here. He says, you're going to be Simon. You're not going to be Peter here in just a little bit. You're Simon. Because Jesus knows everything, brethren. But he gives him a, God bless him, he gives him a warning. He tries to show him what's coming. Watch out. And old Peter would write later, brethren, to us, to all of us. He says, I've been through it. Y'all watch out. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's on the prowl. Jesus said, brethren, verse 32, here's the good news. Here's good news right here, brethren, for you and me and Simon. But I have prayed for thee. Oh, man. Jesus prays for you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Jesus says, I prayed for you. Would you go to the next Gospel, John? Would you go there, John 17? We know Jesus said, I prayed for you. He told him. But here's an example of Jesus praying for Peter. He prayed for the apostles. And we're going to read that he prays for us too. John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. He starts a prayer right there, brethren. Father, the hour is come. He's in John's gospel, this is right before the cross too. The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may also glorify thee. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. That's the apostles in this context. I've manifested thy name. I've preached to them, O God. I've witnessed to them. Thine they were. They belong to you, O God, Father. You gave me them. You gave them me, and they have kept my word. Now, verse 9. I pray for them. You see that? Jesus prayed for the apostles. And he says to Peter, I prayed for you, brother. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pray for them. Go to verse 20, chapter 8, chapter 17, John. Neither pray I for these alone. There's more I'm praying for. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see, that's us. That's the ones that heard them preach. And that's us. That we read what they wrote. They're witnessing. Jesus, brethren, prays for us. Oh, what a blessed thought. Praise the Lord for Christ's prayer and His prayers. The prayer that's recorded in John 17 and the prayer that He makes now, interceding for you and me at the right hand of the Father. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, stay with me here. A little journey here on the issue, on the topic of faith. Jesus says, I pray for you, Simon, that your faith fail not. First of all, I want to reestablish this truth right here. Faith, the faith of God. Some churches have a bulletin, or they have a thing on the wall in places, and it says at the top three words, articles of faith. And it's a listing of what the people that gather there to worship believe. It's the articles of faith. Let me tell you what, brethren, that faith will never fail. That's the faith. That's the faith. Look in Jude. Look in Jude. Three Johns, and then Jude, and then the Revelation. It's the order it comes. In Jude 3, Jude verse 3, you don't have to say the chapter because there's only one of them. Jude verse 3, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. That means articles of faith were delivered. That means doctrines of faith. That means the truth, the faith that you and I believe. We're of the Christian faith, we often say. That's our faith. That's the faith that was once delivered. It's been delivered. God's men spoke it. Prophets, judges, apostles, Jesus. They all spoke that faith. That faith, brethren, I say to you, on the standing on the promises of God that it will never fail. But Jesus says to Simon Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not, Peter. All children of God are given a measure of faith when they're born again, when they're rebirthed, when they're regenerated. You get a measure of faith. And by that, brethren, you and I are able to understand the faith which was once delivered to the saints. The Holy Spirit teaches us that. But sometimes, brethren, my faith failed. When I was riding in the ambulance, and they told me I'd had a big old heart attack, and I was riding in there, riding in the ambulance, my faith, I was struggling, brothers. My faith was about to fail me. And I had to do like David did, encourage myself in the Lord. When David came back to the town of Ziklag where his wives were and his possessions were and the thing was on fire, people had come and pillaged the place, spoiled it and set it on fire and hauled off his wives. And his men were talking about taking his life. That those 600 or so men that came to him from all corners of the kingdom and said, we're going to follow you. And they were thinking about no longer following him. In fact, not only not following him, but taking his life. It said David encouraged himself in the Lord. And when my faith, brethren, was teetering on the brink of failure, I had to start thinking of scriptures and praying to God and standing on the promises. And my faith, mercy, praise God, by the grace of God, didn't fail me. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And watch this next phrase. And when thou art converted. I'm going to say this, brethren. Jesus said, well, he didn't say it out loud to Simon, but he said, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. When you're converted, when you get back on solid ground, Peter, strengthen the brethren, Simon. When you get back on solid ground, Simon, strengthen the brethren. Look in this same chapter, brethren, verse 57. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Oh, boy. Just hours later. And Peter had said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. That's verse 33. Verse 58, after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with them, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, the rooster crowed. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He saw him in the crowd. You see, isn't that something? I just envisioned that. It was a loud, boisterous crowd hurling accusations, uproar. Jesus on one part of the room, Peter a distance away. People between them. A lot of action, a lot of moving going on. But Peter caught the Lord's eye. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, that was a bad scene, wasn't it, for Peter? But brethren, he remembered the words of Jesus, that you're going to deny me tonight. But I suggest to you, brethren, he remembered, I don't know if it was in that instance or a little while later, brethren, but he remembered the words of Jesus that said, when I have prayed for you and when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Well, two final points I want to make, try to make it, are these. Jesus is praying for you. Your faith sometimes may fail. I hope it doesn't. But if it does, brethren, know this. Jesus is with you. and you can be converted. And I can be converted. I can get my footing again. Like I do when the wave knocks me over and I feel the sand down there and I get up on my feet and I stand up and I head for the shore and I get my footing again. I can get back on solid ground, even though that's sand there. I can get back on it. I can get out of that water that's knocking me over. And I can get on a firm foundation. Peter writes, brethren, you know what he writes in one place? I think it's 1 Peter. He says, the stone that the builders set at naught. They said, no. We don't want nothing to do with that stone. That stone has become the chief of the corner. Become the cornerstone. Oh boy, he knew where the solid ground was. He knew where it was. And now, I want to make that point to you, if I can, that if your faith fails, faith won't fail you, but your faith will fail sometimes. And if it does, brethren, know this, Jesus is praying for you, and that when you're converted, when you get your footing again, brethren, you help somebody whose faith has failed them, who their faith has failed. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, in closing, I want to, you know it already, but I want to remind you that what Peter did, he strengthened the brethren. I will give you some examples of him strengthening the brethren. Jesus died on the cross and was placed in the tomb. Big stone placed on the tomb. Early in the morning of the week, when the Sabbath was over, some women came to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. And pretty soon after that, Peter and John ran to the tomb. John outran him, but Peter ran. It says he outran him. I believe Peter was running. He ran to the tomb. Now, if he hadn't been converted at that point, I don't think he'd gotten out of bed. He just said, it's useless. I don't believe all that anymore. But he got up, brethren, and he ran to the tomb. He's looking for Jesus. He ran to the tomb. One of the next things he did was, the apostles were all together, and the worshipers, Peter kind of took charge like he was apt to do, and he said, we need another apostle. Judas is dead. He's hung himself. He's dead. He betrayed the Lord. I denied him. Judas betrayed him. But we need another apostle. He got them together and they came up with another apostle named Matthias. He did that. And about the next thing, if not the next thing he did, brethren, go to the book of Acts. Go to Acts now. We're going to stay in Acts until we're done for just a few minutes. Acts chapter 2. And when I say that, brethren, some of you have already thought about it probably before I got there. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to give you examples of Peter, brethren, after his conversion. And conversion, I don't mean born again. Peter long since been born again, but his faith failed him. Not the faith failed him, but he failed. But now watch this, brethren. Watch this. Acts 2. I'm going to give you just some selected verses. The day of Pentecost has fully come. They're in a place. There's all kinds of people around. Jewish people from all over the world, that part of the world. And the Holy Spirit comes. And some men mocked there. And they said, these men are drunk. These men speaking in tongues are drunk. But Peter, verse 14, Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up. I love that right there. When we studied the book of Acts on Sunday nights, I remember this verse. I remember just rejoicing when it says Peter stood up. That is to say, brethren, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He stood up. He wasn't afraid for them to see him or to hear him. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Listen to me. I'm ready to speak now. I'm not saying you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who that is. He's saying, you listen to me now. Listen to me. Now go to 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. It's kind of like Jesus saying, Simon, Simon, behold, listen to what I'm about to say to you. Now Peter's saying, everybody listen to me. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Isn't that good? That's Peter talking now, brethren. It's not Simon. That's bold Peter talking. Now, 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, man. Do it. Do it, Peter. It's not Simon now. That's Peter talking. He's on the firm foundation, brethren. Now, 38. Then Peter said unto them, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're pricked in their hearts, brethren. Spirit of God's convicted them over what they did. And they say, what shall we do? Verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. That's what you need to do. Now, verse 40. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Oh, man. Do it. Preach it, Peter. That was after Christ had risen from the dead and ascended back into heaven. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached that. Roughly 50 days after he had denied Jesus, that he even knew him. Now, Acts 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. He's preaching again. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Pilate was going to let him go, and you insisted that Pilate crucify him. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. That was Barabbas. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Do it, Peter. Now, chapter 4. Last reference. Chapter 4, verse 10. Acts 4. Be it known unto you all. Listen, he's not ashamed now, is he? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. That was the crippled man that had been healed by the power of God. And here it is. This is the stone. Jesus is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. He's converted, brethren. He's converted now. He's born again already, but he's converted. He's back on the firm ground, brethren. His faith is restored. He's now again, standing in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's Peter. He's doing what Jesus said to him. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. In closing, this is it. In closing, brethren, I want to say to you, when you're converted, when you're strong, brethren, when you're standing on the solid rock, brethren, strengthen the brethren. Strengthen somebody that's in need. Say it like Peter said it. Say it. Because, brethren, if the Spirit of God moves you to say it, that means that there's somebody in your hearing. It may be one person. It may be a room full of people. Somebody needs to hear it. And Jesus knows that. He knows everything. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Do it if it's one person in your company, or if it's two, or if it's ten. Do it. Don't be Simon. Be Peter. It's easy relatively for me to say it right here. It's easy for me to say it right here. You love me, I love you. We're in the church house. Why wouldn't it be easy for me to say it here? I want to be bold, and I want to say it outside the doors of the church. I won't say it. I won't say it to the fellow at the gas pump or the lady checking out my groceries. I won't say it. Oh, Lord, I thank You for the privilege to say it. I thank You for the opportunity to say it in this place. I pray, Lord, You'll help me to say it elsewhere. Help us to do it. Thank You for the solid rock. Thank You that Jesus is on this Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Bless us to say it, Lord, to live it. Love You. Thank You that Jesus knows all about it. He knows it before it happens, and He's praying for us. Thank You for these kind words of Jesus to Simon. Thank You for Jesus' kind prayers in our behalf when we're Simon instead of Peter. Help us, O God, to live for You and love You and do Your will. We pray in Jesus' name. The one that prays for us, we pray in His name. Amen.